Look at your neighbor and say, you look like you lost weight. Come on. Hey, you got to do what you got to do sometimes. Prophesy it. I'm sitting here this morning. I'm listening to all these announcements on pizza and s'mores and hamburgers, and my stomach begins to growl. And then right in the middle of it, and I love him for it, Craigie Conover sends me a $25 gift card to Dunkin' Donuts. I didn't even know you could do that. I want to go there right now and get a bagel. No, not really, no. Thank you, though. I love each and every one of you. But I am hungry. And what's the thing, Aaron? You got me dancing with a dress on? Homie, don't do that. Now, I know you know I can dance, that I taught you most of everything you know. Come on. You liked that, didn't you? But thank you. What do I do now, anyways? Anyways. Dance. Come here, baby. We could show them, couldn't we? So, segue. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. What a great segue to go to. But next week, we're going to have a table up. We're going to have some information, you know, that's very close to our heart as our family went through that with Patty. And I'm a proponent of doing everything I can to help. And also, next week, Divine has put together an amazing performance dance. I watched it yesterday, and I bawled like a baby, and it will touch your life and encourage you, and it'll be a great blessing to you. So invite somebody next week, and let's believe the Lord for great things to happen continually. Father, thank you for your kindness to each one of us. Pour out your life and your love on every person, I pray today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. If you have your Bible, I want to look at an Old Testament story. I'm just going to be just a few moments here together with you in 2 Kings chapter 3. This is a fascinating story. And I still want to stay on this thought that we're in, talking about times and seasons. We're definitely in a new season in the natural. If you walked out the door this morning and you could just sense that beautiful fall air, and it's just fascinating this time of the year. It always has been to me. My birthday this week, I've seen a foot of snow on the ground, and I've also seen it 75, 80 degrees. I prefer the latter of those two over the first that I talked about, but nevertheless, we know that's coming, and that's just God's way of telling us all, hey, he's going to make all things new again, covers everything up, and great things happen during that time. But Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season. Everything has a season and a time for every purpose that's under heaven. And sometimes I think that we find ourselves going through the section of our lives and we're wondering, what in the world are we doing? How did we get here? How come I'm not where I want to be? How come I can't see where I want to see? How come I'm not experiencing what I want to experience? Or some of you may think, how did I even end up here? How did all this happen to me? How did I get into this mess? How did I get into this negative situation? Why did this happen to me? What has happened in my life? Some of you, you may be here today, you got some dreams and hopes for a different season in your life. Some of you, you may be hoping for a husband, you may be hoping for a wife. And can I just say something about that? You can hope for that. If you're single here today, that is not the worst thing in the world for you to have as a handle over your life. What is worse than that is for you to rush into something, marry the wrong person, and live the rest of your life in misery. I don't know if you should say amen to that or not, but you should definitely clap on that right now. Come on, let's put our hands together. We believe God for the right things. In fact, you know, I've told women and men before, you're looking for a spouse? You really serious about it? Run a credit check on them. That'll find out who's serious and who's not. Amen. Well, this is nothing part of my message, but that's good stuff right there. Anybody looking for a husband or wife today? We'll just move ahead. Carrie, run a credit check on the next guy, okay? But, you know, some of you may be here today, you're hoping to get healthier, you want to get stronger. Some of you maybe have a desire to become more educated. You've got some of these hopes and dreams, and you wonder if this could ever happen. Could it ever happen to me? And I was, Ben talked about it, and incidentally, boys, thank you so much for your kind words. I love my sons, and thank each one of you for your kindness. That meant more to me. I don't want no presents. I don't want anything. That's what I wanted. Thank you. But if you already have money tucked in an envelope, I don't want to mess up your plans either. I was thinking this week I had this incredible honor. Ben talked about it. One of my heroes in my life, Pastor Tommy Barnett, has just been a great influence in my life. And he, for years, pastored the fastest growing church in the nation. He was in Iowa, and then obviously went to Phoenix, Arizona, been there for the last 35 years plus. But he said 40 years ago he walked down the streets of L.A., and he looked at that big Angelus Temple building that Amy Semple McPherson built, a woman pastoring back in the mid-20s. It was the largest church in America, one of the largest in the world at the time. She built that church to bring honor and glory to God, and also to help and to feed people that were going through the Depression at that time that had nothing. There were lines miles long. If you do any research, and I encourage you to just look at some of the background, it's fascinating. She would be feeding people when no one else had anything. She would be out working and raising money to bring back to Los Angeles to help feed people. And 40 plus years later, that church building comes back into the hands of Pastor Tommy and Matthew Barnett, doing a great work there with the Dream Center now. And here I am this week. I felt that I needed to go. It's his 80th birthday, and prayed about it. And I heard the Lord through my wife say, "Honey, go. You need to do that." And so I went. And here I am, little Marty McDonald from South Byron, who one day, like Ben said, we went into Phoenix. That church holds 7,000 people. And that one night he and I were there, you couldn't budge in there. There was all of 9,500, maybe 10,000 people in the church. We're sitting on there are two balconies. On the third balcony, we're in the farthest. You can't even see. There's people outside everywhere. And then Thursday night, I get to go down, sit on the front row in that great historical building, sit next to my hero, one of my mentors in my life, and then they ask me to open up in prayer for that beautiful night there. And I'm going to tell you something. God, that just did not happen, and I don't take any credit for that. You may be sitting there and say, "Well, that might be big to you, but that means nothing to me." However, there is something in your heart that means something to you as well, that God wants to bring you into. He wants to usher you into the season of your life to be a blessing to you. And I wrote this quote down: "Your greatest need becomes a blessing when it drives you to depend on God." And when you may be looking at something in your life today that's troubling and hard and difficult, but if it drives you to depend on God, it will be the very blessing that God is going to use to bring you into the season that He's calling you into. And it'll carry you with the power to bring you out of one season that you're in into another. And I know I'm talking to some people here today that you've been through trouble, you've been through hardship, you've been through some trying things, but can I tell you that if you'll depend on God, God will use that as a springboard to launch you into your future, into your destiny. And I want to read this Old Testament story about three kings that joined forces together to go up against the Moabites. But things don't go as they plan. They get together, and before they even go into battle, as they're marching through the hot desert with their armies and their animals and their horses and their cattle, they run completely out of water. They're about to die of thirst. They're in big trouble, and they don't know what they're going to do. And pick it up in 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. The Bible says that the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom, and they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for their army nor for their animals that followed them. And the king of Israel alas, says, alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. And I could talk a lot. The history of this is so fascinating. Joram is the king of Israel, who the Bible says does evil in the sight of the Lord, but not even to the extent that his parents in the last eight kings that were king of Israel. They were wicked. They did evil. And here this man thinks that now they're together to go up against more evil group of the Moabites, that God is setting them up to get them back for his sinning against the Lord. He says, look, the Lord has called three of us together to put us into the hand of Moab, to kill us, to destroy us. In other words, that's what a lot of people do this day. They don't live for God, and then when something negative happens, instead of them humbling themselves, they begin to blame God. This is where I'm at. God hates me. I knew he was against me. He was always up to no good. He wanted to destroy me. And nothing could be further from the truth. And the Bible goes on to say in verse 11, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord of him? And the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Japhet, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. That's a fascinating statement right there. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to them. Instead of them getting stuck on blaming God, now they're coming to their mind and they're coming to their senses. And the Bible goes on to say that they begin to inquire from the Lord. They get past themselves like we all have to do at some point or another. And no matter what our relationship is with God, at the end of the day, if it's a bad day, we are going to call out to God. And I made mention of it last week, of that person that did that terrible shooting in Las Vegas. When they interviewed his girlfriend, they said he'd wake up in the middle of the night and cry out, dear God, dear God. And isn't it always interesting that no matter where we find ourselves, we call out to God. First we want to blame him, and then we want to call out to him. And these three, they go to Elisha, and this is what Elisha says. And Elisha, in verse 13, said to the king of Israel, what do I have to do with you? He brings them back to another point. He says, go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother to remind them of the evil that they had committed. This is the man. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. In verse 14, Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I wouldn't even look at you. It's good to know who your friends are. But he does, and he does what any woman or man of God would do, and he reconsiders at that time. He knows the evil that is going on in their lives, but he pauses for a moment. And Elisha goes on in verse 15, he says, bring me a musician. And it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. I love that. In verse 16, it said, and he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He'll also deliver the Moabites into your hand. In verse 20 it says, and it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by way of Edom, and the land was filled with water. I just love this story, and there's so many things that I could say about it, but I just want to give you these three thoughts, and I want to leave you with this today on this story, because I really believe that for some of you, you got to know that God wants to help you, and he wants to bring you into your season. But the first thing about this story is that you can't wait until you're in trouble always to seek his help. Don't wait until the bottom is falling out of your life. Even when these godless kings came together, they thought God just wanted them to suffer more. Come on, rid that thought process out of your mind. God is not against you. He does not hate you. I don't even care if you're anti-God here today. You don't want somebody just pulled you in here, made you come, and you're sitting, you're enduring it, and you say, yeah, God, whatever. God loves you just right where you're at today. And if you were in trouble, he would come to help you and rescue you out of your need. But here's the problem. There's a lot of pieces in this story that are left out. We don't hear about these kings' families and all the people that are with them, how they're struggling with thirst and how the things that they needed most are not being met because they were godless, except for Jehoshaphat. The Bible says if it wasn't for him, that Elisha wouldn't even look at him, but yet he does. This is what I want to tell you here today. Don't wait until you're in trouble to seek for help. But if you are in trouble and you seek help, God will rush to you to help you. But this is what we miss in it. We miss the details. Sometimes people wait, and I say this all the time, don't wait until your house is on fire to call the fire truck. Hello? Get help now. Because your house is on fire. And yeah, the fire truck will come, but you're going to have loss. And you don't want to wait until you are in the trouble to call out for help. We need to build those building blocks with the Lord every single day. We need to serve Him. We need to have relationship with Him. We need to be in covenant with God every single day. Don't wait until you're in trouble to call out to Him. The second thing is, in this whole story, I love it. You got to learn to step away from all the noise sometimes. He says, I'll help you with the battle. But he said, this is the first thing I need. Bring me a musician. Bring me a musician. Somebody who is skilled and can play and see something incredible happen. Even this man knew that his heart. And I took this. This is so important for leaders, pastors, and whatever kind of leader. You cannot make decisions in the middle of an angry moment. How many of you have said things? And I make this prayer every single day. God, put a watch over my big mouth. Don't make decisions in the middle of it. Step away from the noise. He said, bring me a musician. I love how Spurgeon, he said it this way. Elisha had noticed that the Spirit of God acted upon him most freely when his mind was restful and subdued. He found himself best prepared for the heavenly voice when the noise within his soul was hushed and every disturbing emotion was quieted. Are you doing that? See, this is the answer to the season that God wants to take you into. That sometimes you got to just step away from all the chatter and all the stuff going on. He goes on to say he could not create the wind of the Spirit, but he could raise his sail to receive it. And he did just that. Are you raising your sail to receive the wind of God in your life? Are you setting time apart in your life to hear from Him and to just let your soul, let inside of you just be quieted? Soul, David said, why are you so disquieted in me? Put your hope in God. Sometimes you got to step away from all of the noise. Maybe when the musician came, maybe he played one of David's psalms and the hand of the Lord came upon him. What a refreshing thought that is. Under the influence of this minstrel, his thoughts were collected and the Spirit of the living God began to move not only through his life, but to give him answers to the dilemma that was facing those who are around him. Oh, I want to lift my sail to God. I'm on a text list with a group of other pastors. We talk every single Sunday morning, just a few things. And I sent that scripture out and I set that quote out from Charles Spurgeon, and one by one, these pastors would send a text back to me saying, my sails are up. I've lifted my sail up today. Can I ask you to lift your sail to God? You say, what do you mean by that? Get away from the noise and hear from God today. He'll talk to you. He'll speak to you. He'll make life right for you. Get the right things going on in your heart and in your life. Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 23, the Bible says that when David played before Saul, it chased the evil spirit away from him. And I'm just going to insert this just because I can. I'm the pastor. Don't show up on Sunday after the worship is over. Don't even show up when it's half over. Can you get here on time? Do you show up for work late every time you go to work? Amen. I'm just going to move right on through that right there. Because there's something that happens in this atmosphere. You could feel it here. If you didn't feel what was going on here today, as my old brother used to say, your wood is wet. And then the final thought on this, you got to dig. You got to dig. This is what everybody loves not to do. Because it requires some work on our part before we are going to see the results in our life. He said, thus says the Lord, make a valley full of ditches. Look at that. Wait a minute. God, you didn't hear me. I don't want to dig anymore. I'm already thirsty. I'm already tired. You could just do what you can do and turn the water on. And don't we say that? Well, if God wanted to do it, I'm just going to, and this notion, believe me, I don't mean to be offensive when I say this, but when people say, you don't have to do anything, just sit back and rest, and God will just bring it all to you, and nothing could be further from the truth. Faith says, I'm going to step out, and I'm going to watch God meet me where I step out. Faith says that God is going to do what you can't do when you've done all that you can do. And he says here, he says, dig, dig. Whenever God does something great, he always requires a step from you and I. And is it pleasant? Is it fun? No, nada. But is it worth it? You better believe it's worth it. Because our inspiration will go to participation. And when we participate, then God gets involved in it. And what we can't do, he comes alongside us and he does a miracle in the midst of our lives. Come on today. Are you listening to me today? And you got to continue no matter what you see. I'm going to close with this. 2 Kings 3:17, he says, you will not see wind or rain, but yet the valley will be full of water. I love that. You mean it's not going to come the way I hoped it was going to come? It's not going to be done the way I planned it to be done? No. But you'll see the rain. Some of you're waiting for your season. You're waiting to get out of something. You're hoping to get into something else. And I was reminded this week as I was sitting on that front row thinking, I am a nobody. I am nothing. I am a hot dog in a steakhouse right now. That's what I felt like. And I remembered years ago working in the cow barn, 8-10 hours a day, milking them cows, getting kicked and slapped and whatever else. And I didn't mind it. I like cows. I like dairy farming. I love the smell of manure. Diesel fuel. Amen. How come I get more amens on that? By the way, Ryan, he mentioned something, an interesting observation this morning, that you all clap on that happy song more than you do during worship in the house of God. Just a side thought. But I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm reminded back this time when I worked on the farm. And I remember saying to the Lord, God, is this all there is? Is this what I'm going to be? I thought back then, I said, God, you've made me for more than this. And I want to sow that seed into somebody's mind today. It's not dairy farming is great. I loved it. Whatever you do, it's great. But God has put a seed inside of every one of you to go further than you ever thought you could go before. Some of you, he's calling to step out of your comfort zone, to do something great. Maybe it's on a missions trip. Maybe it's in the area of giving. You've never come into that covenant because you think, well, if I give this to God, then God's not able to give me more. And you've stifled not only yourself, but your family, and even more so, the family of God. God is calling some people today to a higher level. Listen to this, and I'm closing with this scripture in James 1. He said, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not in a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all that he does. Come on, do I have any doers of God's word today in this house? Praise God. Close your eyes, bow your head with me. Prayer people, come on down to the altar. I'm going to close. Maybe you need Jesus in your life today. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you can do that. You can do it right where you're at. Say, Lord, come into my life. Jesus came into this world, perfect, sinless, half divinity and half humanity, and gave his life for the sins that you and I not only have committed, for some of you are committing and even will commit. Jesus paid for it all today. And you need to ask him to come into your life so that your life can transition into the season that he's called you to. Others, maybe you're struggling. Maybe you haven't put your best foot forward and you think, why am I like this? God, you're mad at me. Why is this happening to me? And all the time God is saying to you, quiet down, serve me, and begin to dig your ditches. Begin to do what you can do. You begin to come to church. You begin to go to a Bible study. You begin to come to a place of prayer every single day. You begin to read your Bible. You get around good men or good women. You get into fellowship with God on a regular basis. You dig the ditch. I'm going to close in prayer. Your eyes are closed. Your heads are bowed. If any of those things today, if you're in a place, you need prayer for anything, when I'm finished praying, I just want you to get out of your seat, come down, ask one of these folks, pray with you, believe God with you for where you're at. God, I just want to say thank you today for the power of the Word of the living God. I pray, Lord, that every life here today will receive what you have intended for them. And God, that you would take them farther and lift them higher than they ever thought they could go. Lord, somebody is struggling here today in a situation, in a life attitude that they can't seem to get out of. And Lord, you provide a way of escape for every one of us. I pray, God, that someone today will find the strength within themselves, a tenacity to say, this is my day. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it now. I pray your strength upon them now, even right at this moment. God, empower them now. Somebody, even while I'm praying here today, you're feeling, your heart is racing. You know God is pulling on you today. Don't leave here today without doing, committing to him what he has called you to do. So, Father, we just give you thanks today. We worship and honor you, trust you. We turn off the noise, and we set our sails to receive what you have for us today. I give you praise and thanks for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. I love you so much. Carrie, did you bring any CDs with you today? You do. She got some at the table. Somebody's out there. Go in God's grace. Carrie, go back at the table out there so that everybody can meet you. You're a star here. We love you. Did you love Carrie today, being with us today? Amen. If you need prayer for anything before you leave, come on down here. These folks, they're ready to pray and believe God with you. I love you. Go in his grace today.